Hello and welcome to the Villa Park podcast. It's me, Rich, and I'm back with Kev for your fans forum. As we know, Tuesday night is fans forum night, your chance to have your say on anything going on at Villa at the moment. And I don't think there's that much to talk about, to be honest, Kev, is there? I don't think much happened today, to be honest.
Nah, we've been linked with a couple of strikers, haven't we, probably from the lower leagues. Well, are we still in the... We're still in the Championship, are we? Trying to get over Di Matteo? Have I... Oh, no, crikey, we're... Emery signed a new contract! For a moment, I went back 5 years. You know why? I saw it the other day. Like, it was like, was it 5 years to the day when Dean Smith did something in Championship? How far we've come, mate. For us to be talking on a podcast in April 2024, isn't it? That we are nearly, you know... Nearly the end of April, top four, and our absolutely legendary manager already after only 18 months has we've extended the deal. So, yeah, it's unbelievable news, mate.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. And another thing to give ourselves a huge well done to is the fact that, and to give you guys a huge well done for supporting us, is we're now over 3,700 subscribers. We're marching ever closer to 4,000 subscribers, which, you as you all know, what we want to do before the end of the season. I think we're on track to do it, but you guys can help us. So like, subscribe if you haven't already, keep sharing the channel, keep commenting on our stuff, and keep supporting us. It's fantastic, the support that we've been getting. And amazing day. Unai Emery signing that extension to his contract. And we had a few questions in. Rachel, obviously one of our most loyal viewers, kind of was a little bit concerned. Here she is waving in the chat, little bit concerned that we might be losing Unai to Bayern Munich. Those were all the rumours, and even Liverpool was a rumour as well. But, you know, Emery was questioned on the weekend about, you know, his commitment to Villa and what he thought about the rumours, and said he was 100% committed to the job he has at Villa. But yeah, obviously in the background, we know what these owners are like, Kev. They don't mess about. They didn't mess about in getting rid of Steven Gerrard and getting Unai Emery in. And they haven't messed about in tying him down to like extending his contract, but also talking about in the summer, getting him on a longer term deal and kind of wanting to create this almost this dynasty with Unai Emery at the helm.
Yeah, well, they've said, haven't they? Like Ferguson-esque has been said, hasn't it, by a few people. And I mean, why not? Why not? If you look at Aston Villa, clearly we are all very much with our claret and blue spectacles on constantly. But, you know, and we get what do we get levelled at us? Oh, yeah, you've had history in the past, but like, where are you now? Well, that history in the past can't be forgotten. Founding members of the Football League, you know, 7 times FA Cup winners, 7 times league title winners, 5 times League Cup winners, European Cup, European Super Cup. Let's not forget the Orange Trophy and that pre-season tour of Spain. And what was the other one? The one we did in under Gerrard as well. But look, all jokes aside, massive history. But beyond that, you know, this is England's second city. So you think about all the success that clubs have had, you know, obviously Chelsea in recent years, Man City, Man United, Liverpool. This is the second city. And really, we've massively underachieved with that second city status. Comes obviously a huge fan base. Now, Villa is such a well-supported club, particularly in the middle part of the country. You know, you get a lot of Villa fans in, you know, Wales, who maybe gone down to the southwest. You get Villa fans, obviously, as on this channel, you can see globally. That's only going to get better and better with these guys. But we've not had the success on the field to match that fan base. And I think if you're not a Villa fan, you don't necessarily know outside of Villa fans just how massive the club is. You hear some pundits talk about it. You know, Gary Neville's always very complimentary. Simon Jordan is. But Villa is a huge...
It's always to a point, though, isn't it?
It is,
you know, to a point. Yeah. I'll come on to it in a second. But, yeah, finish your point, mate.
Yeah. So, to have a situation now where what happens on the pitch matches all these kind of grand, you know, designs that we've got on us potentially getting back to the elite. And for it to happen in the timescales it's happened. I mean, 5 years, pretty much, these guys have been in charge. I have to pinch myself at times that what is going on is going on. And to think as well, injuries aside, we probably could still be in a title hunt. It's just unbelievable. So I just think that what's happened under this manager since that that fateful night. I mean, who'd have thought it as well? That night in Fulham where we got absolutely battered 3-0. It's the last time we lost in London.
Yeah.
Said that after this, we weren't losing London for 18 months. You would have said we were absolutely start raving mad. So, I mean, if this is what's happened in 18 months, what's going to happen in the next 18 months, Richard?
Exactly. It's amazing to think. And, we think about our children at, like, you know, Aiden, my son, at 10 years old, your Teddy at 10, is he 9, 10,
nearly
10. Esme at 7.
She's eight
last week. Happy birthday to Esme. And it's just like, and any other, you know, people that are watching, like, with younger kids, and it's like what they're experiencing now, like they're coming to games, just Villa are going to win. Like, do you know what I mean? And like, and then, you know, to the people, you know, Villa on tour, and you know, that kind of early 20s who've probably seen us in the Championship and started liking us at that stage. Now they're experiencing like this Villa, just amazing time. So, yeah, it's just tremendous, like, to think of where we could go. And obviously we're going to talk a little bit about later on about how far we think we are, how many more players do you think we need, and all that kind of dreaming stuff. But it's just great to be talking about that.
I think we're the unlucky generation, though. What are we like?
I know.
You know, we've said this before. We were like, what? Well, by 43, aren't we? So, like, you know, I know we don't look at viewers. Thanks. Pop it in the comments. No. But you know, we were both what, 1-2 years old, you know, when we won the big honours. Yeah, we saw a couple of League Cups, of course, but you know, went close in the league. But you know, it's funny when I listen to, like, you know, the Villa podcasts and stuff. Obviously Villa on tour. Max, he's, you know, he talks about the Championship days and how bleak it was, and you know, obviously the guys on Claret and Blue, you know, do a good job. Dan and John Townley, you know, obviously Villa through and through. But they're in their 20s. They dealt with a little bit of that, you know, whole, like, with signing players. You know, we were basically bang average under Remy Gard and Paul Lambert, but my God, we've had it longer in terms of the lack of success. We had that brief window under O'Neill where we thought it's going to happen, and then we've had all these doldrums. So, like, I think we're owed it even more, because the guys older than us have seen all the success, and the younger ones haven't had as much pain, so they're doing it for us now. But it's funny, I was just going to say, like, you talk about our kids, like, Teddy absolutely loves it, my son, right? He loves it. But there's times, if it's a late game, you have a European game, and he's looking at his iPad for a bit, and I'm like, oi, son, this is a European quarterfinal. What are you doing? Watch it now. I'm demanding.
My lad was the same, but I think it's just kids.
He
watched the penalties, and he watched the extra time and penalties, to be fair to him, but that was probably just because it was past his bedtime. But
get off YouTube. Like, I was watching Millwall away. Why, like, you know,
simultaneously broadcasting on YouTube.
Yeah, funny, isn't it? Funny.
Yeah. Do want to highlight this, Nick, who does our great music and puts the montage together. So great job, Nick. But he's also said, hopefully this will shut a few people up, like Andy Goldstein. What is he going to say now? I mean, he was certain that Emery would choose Manchester United, didn't he? No, there's no way he'd turn Man United down. We were obviously only talking about this last week, Kev. What's he going to talk about now? Is his attention going to switch to Douglas Luiz or Ollie Watkins? I mean, what's he going to talk about now?
Probably. I did tag him in my tweet today, but he didn't. I mean, understandably, probably didn't get back to
me. I think everyone was tagging him in. Yeah, to be honest.
Good. Yeah. Well, this is the thing. Now, we talked about this previously on this pod, haven't we? Like, you know, about when are people going to start to look at us as being? Hang on a minute. What we are going to almost certainly finish in. Would definitely, I think, top five, looking good for top four. Obviously, still some work to be done, so let's not get carried away. So why can't it be us, subject to FFP, being the ones where people are saying, hang on a minute, well, why can't we sign Cole Palmer? You know, I mean, obviously, probably money-wise, we probably wouldn't, but you get my point, you know, why can't we be signing good players? Why in previous years, the Champions League clubs are the ones that are going to come after the clubs outside of the Champions League? We're in the Champions League, and if they change the rules and we can afford it, why can't we be getting Lucas Paqueta? Why can't we be getting Bowen or Kudus or, you know, whatever, some of these top players that are in the teams outside of it? Why has it always got to be Villa? And now we're in the situation where we are. Why would Luiz, Watkins, Martinez want to leave? Unless it was a dream move. I do think deep inside that Watkins would love to play for Arsenal. And if the opportunity came, you could see maybe. But with what he's done, with how revered he is at the Villa, would he not want to have a Champions League campaign with us? But Outside of that, I can't see why anybody would want to leave. Think about, you've got the best manager. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I've said it months and months and months ago. I think he's the best manager in the league. I think he is. What he's done with this team and what he's done outside of it with the teams he's done it with, I think he's the best manager in the world. Mm. What's Guardiola done? You've managed Bayern Munich, Man City and Barcelona. Whoop-de-fucking-do. Like, you know, I'm sure I would have had a couple of cups jokes aside. He's clearly a good manager. But he's not done it with Sevilla or Villarreal or taken Aston Villa from 16th to where they are in 18 months. He's an absolute god. The players love him. By all accounts, he's hilarious as well, apparently. I've been listening to a few things saying he's actually funnier than you realise. The players love him. He gets the best out of players. I've seen a lot of love for Dean Smith lately about a lot of the players that he signed. Now look how they're coming through. We're in the Champions League, almost certainly. You know, we've got a bit of work to do, but okay, well, hopefully. I won't get carried away with that point. We've got, you know, we're in a European semi-final. Why would you want to leave Aston Villa right now? And I think it's time for the media to stop talking about us as if we are a stepping stone to something big. We are the big now. We are the big.
Well, this is the thing as well, Kev. You know, We've seen Xabi Alonso, Bayer Leverkusen manager so far, it looks like, turning down the advances of the big clubs or the so-called big clubs to stay at Leverkusen. We're seeing Unai Emery turn down potential advances from Bayern Munich and potentially Liverpool. We're seeing Liverpool struggling to kind of get a top-name manager. They're looking at like Paulo Fonseca or what would be classed as the top name managers, Paulo Fonseca or Ruben Amorim or is it Arne Slot from Feyenoord? Are we looking at a change in the guard here in terms of like clubs and managers? You know, maybe these managers looking at, well, what is the long-term future like? Am I better off staying at a Villa or a Leverkusen or, you know, Nagelsmann sticking it out with Germany rather than trying to go to a Manchester United who just seem like a poison chalice or a Paris Saint-Germain who are just going to sack you if you don't do whatever or even a Bayern Munich if you suddenly don't win the league? Like, are we seeing this kind of thing where it's like, look, I'd rather be somewhere where I'm valued and somewhere where I've got the backing of the club or I'm not kind of being looking over my shoulder if I lose two or three games?
Yeah, I mean, I think possibly. I think you're seeing a change of the guard in a few ways as well. I think these dynasties, you know, look, I know I give Pep a bit of banter, right?
Well, that's it. Who wants to replace Pep or who wants to replace Klopp?
What's going to happen after that? You know, Pep is an absolutely tremendous manager. You know, he wins all the time. And I know he obviously has got some pretty good tools at his disposal. Klopp's been brilliant. But post-Klopp and post-Pep, I think you're going to have the same trouble that you would have had post-Wenger, post-Ferguson. And I think that's subject to profit and sustainability rules and what clubs are able to do with the wealth that they've got. I think you could see some big, big changes. I think these years of having that same top six over and over again, I think you're going to see some people challenging. I think good recruitment is being really seen now to be so important. You know, look at some of the signings at Villa. Look, Newcastle, to give them credit, right? They've obviously rallied lately.
I was just about to mention Newcastle, you know, with Eddie Howe. They kept the patience. They've stuck with him. He's going to be able to spend in the summer now because of that Champions League they've had. They're obviously finishing the season well.
They've bought some really, really good players against you know, Barnes, Gordon, Guimaraes. You know, they've done Isak obviously been really good. And you can see that they're gonna battle on, and why now can't it be that, you know, a Man United and a Chelsea are the teams fighting for Europa League rather than fighting for Champions League? So
Gary's there with his jokes. I love it.
Have you seen his other joke about Arne Slot being a good fit for Liverpool? Yeah, very good.
I didn't get that. I thought that was like he'd say.
No, he's not. That's Gary's good, Gary. Not allowed to.
Well done, Gary. I love it.
You can't make a comment on here unless there's a gag behind it. I'm all here for it.
Fantastic. One more. I mean, we can talk about Unai Emery as much as we want, but you mentioned before about kind of the 5 years, you know, I don't like talking too much about, oh, look where we were. What I want to talk about really is, barring the kind of, you know, the Gerrard, you know, mistake, whatever you want to call it, debacle, experiment, you know, where the owners moved swiftly, it's almost been a perfect, And in some ways, you can say like you learning from that experience makes it even better or whatever, because you never, it's never going to be like 100% perfect is how you respond to it. But if you look at the progression, you look at that model of what they came in and said they were going to do, you know, like, you know, bringing in Dean Smith, getting the, you know, getting promoted, then going through the situation of signing players to get to keep us up, managing to keep us up, then the next stage of signing good players from the Championship like the Ollie Watkins and Ezri Konsa and players like that, and then, you know, Smith developing, and then him kind of, you know, us kind of outgrowing that, and then, like I say, experiment with Gerrard, getting some big name players in, but then getting Unai Emery in as a next level manager to raise the expectations, then getting even more out of those players, signing players and building up players for the long term in terms of like a full, I don't know what it would be, like a club that is under operating and owned under him. And then to see the rise of the club going from, you know, just about staying in the Premier League to then, you know, 10th and then kind of almost going down to then finishing in Europe and then going further on. It's been an amazing 5 years, and that progression and that, like, I guess the decisions made by the owners, it shows you how important it is and how important they've been to the club, and to continue that is fantastic.
Oh, they've been an absolute dream, haven't they, the owners? They've just been unbelievable. I mean, I think from the fact that obviously they haven't got what you might call dirty money, we feel a bit better about it from a moral perspective, which is great. But do you know what I was thinking has been good about it as well? There's been a lot of moments. I think what's really, really helped is the things that we've achieved when the odds have been against us. You know, think about it right now. I mean, I'm going to say something crazy here, right? I'm going to give a little bit of credit to Steve Bruce, because I think he stabilised us actually really well to get to this point then to rebuild. And I do think the season afterwards, obviously, I know we didn't start off particularly well, but, you know, we went to Wembley, we had the near miss, the best thing that ever happened to us, because obviously Dr. Tony went. The new owners come in under Dean Smith. Think about it. We're languishing in the league. Bruce has been sacked. We have that 10-game winning run, and we qualify for the playoffs with an absolutely unbelievable end to the season. Then we have that penalty shootout. Then we've got Mason Holgate and Jed Steer off. And then we win at Wembley. And that's like, wow, you've had a bit of adversity. You've come through it. First season back. We stay up. When we're the team that's been the most adrift to come back from that, you know, I think it was 7 points or whatever it was behind. We got 8 points to be last four games. Mm-hmm. So we're galvanising a sense of belief in the squad. Look at the European run. Well, look at getting out of trouble last season, and then look at the European run. And this team now are used to having a scenario when the backs are against the wall, they come through the other side. And that kind of stuff is the kind of belief that Man United did in the 90s. They always believed they had a chance. They always believed they could do something. And I think that's been built now. And the great thing about it is that we've got a number of characters in the squad that have experienced that. And then we're bringing in people like a Diaby or a Bailey, or look at Morgan Rogers. He's slotted into this team like he's been here all year. And, you know, been here for a year, been here for more, you know, more than just this season, because of the quality of the players around him and the belief of the players around him. So,
yeah,
I think it's been brilliant.
Yeah, it shows like the players like Morgan Rogers coming in and flourishing so quickly shows the importance of having like a system and having like a process and a coach that has, you know, this way, a certain way of playing, and everyone operates in that way of playing, because then Morgan Rogers can slot in, and yes, he's got a little bit of run-up time, but he knows that if he does these specific things, he moves into these specific spaces, he does this when he has the ball, then he's going to get X amount of success out of it. And that just shows how important it is. What I feel like this season, and you've said that about, you know, last season in terms of that run that we went on, you know, to get into the European spots, the run that we went on to get into the Premier League, the little mini run that we went in to stay in the league. We've been a team of like momentum, haven't we? We've had momentum that's like, you know, when it's been bad, we've lost loads of games in a row. When it's been great, we've won loads of games in a row. I really feel like this season has been like a real development in terms of our consistency and our mentality. You know, we've won games from when we've gone behind, we've won games away from home, we've been 0-0, you know, like against Arsenal, 0-0 for a long period of the game, and then gone on and won right at the end. We've snatch draws from the jaws of victory, from the jaws of defeat. Sorry, we've almost won in every single way. We've won 4-1s, 6-1s. You know, we've almost won in every single way this season, and not only that, we've kind of had like 4, 5, 6 wins in a row. Then we might have drawn or lost. Then we've won another 3 or 4. We haven't gone on those runs where we've lost 4 or 5 in a row that we used to do.
Yeah, and I think it was an Ian Dowie term, wasn't it? Bounce back ability. But
yeah,
we've really, really shown that. I actually think now, even when we lost to the Spurs. Are you going to the Asda? Yeah, lost to the Spurs. It doesn't seem to rock us anymore. You know, we've had some pretty bad defeats this season at times. If you look at the Newcastle, the Liverpool, the Spurs one, you know, obviously there was a Newcastle and Chelsea obviously in January as well. But you wouldn't know it when you respond. I mean, if you've seen all the stats about obviously when we played in Europe, and there was some really good analysis actually about that this week. You know, I think we've played of the 6 European away games. I think we've won the five of the 6 league games. I think the Spurs one was the only one we've not won after a European game.
Yeah, I think so.
Won the other 5. You know, the way that the week we can recover with the squad size we've got and the injuries we've had to still keep churning out performances like we have. And I think there's a mental resilience now in the squad. I think there's that sense of robustness in terms of the conditioning of the players. The fitness is clearly there. But I think the belief is there now. And I think they believe that if they go behind, they can get points, they can get wins. So many examples, Rich, this season. Luton away, yeah. Brentford away, Bournemouth away, Palace at home, Zrinski Mostar last minute, even getting that Zaniolo header to get a point against Sheffield United. There's been so many examples of that. But like you said, we've also won in 1-0 backs to the wall against Arsenal at home. 1-0 should have been 10-0 against Man City at home. Soak up pressure at Arsenal away. Consummate performance second half, and then we've had 6-1s and 4-1s against Brighton and West Ham. So we're a complete team now. And if you look at the big teams, they'll batter some teams and they'll get some grinded results over the line. And that's what it is. And I think with Aston Villa, I think we're a team that gets results. Look at the points haul. Look at the points per game. Since Emery's been here, we are 4th in terms of points.
Yeah,
that is the club that we
over
are 100
now. Points as well. Something is crazy.
But that's over 18 months. At what point is that not just a flash in the pan? At what point is that now just
it is what it is now. It is definitely what it is. I do need to get into some comments. Rach said, the UCL form since Emery has come in, it's fantastic. I've got so many comments coming in. Paul says, hi, Rich and Kev. Watkins is 17 goals behind Ogbonlahor for all-time Aston Villa goal scorer. Sai AVFC says 50 goal contributions from Ollie and Leon. I will get onto Ollie in a bit. Jason said, amazing what Villa have done with their injuries. Michael said, I've always said we need consistency and a mindset change, and Emery has given this. It's just so much. I've got a couple of questions that I've started. Just to finish up on the Emery point, I'm sure we'll come back to it later. And also, guys, we've got over 100 watching tonight, which is phenomenal. But I did check and we only had 27 likes. So we want to get, I mean, we're getting well over 200 likes to every video at the moment, which is just crazy. The support is crazy. But if we can get up to 80 likes tonight on the live stream, that would be fantastic. So please hit the like button. It doesn't cost you anything. Subscribe to the channel as well. If you are new, we are over 3,700 subscribers on the road to 4K. And if you want to become a member, do click the link at the top of the chat or click the dollar sign and follow the instructions. Just $1.99 a month to become an official Villa Park Pod follower. We will have a members only competition very soon as well. So do join up and you can get the rewards. So I did want to finish up with this comment from Mick, British Mick. I don't know if he's watching. He did say he was going to try. You have to just bear with me. He said his thoughts are that Villa and Emery are a perfect match. We are building the team around him, and I wouldn't take Pep over him, as he most certainly wouldn't take another club over us. For instance, I liken Pep to a beautiful pizza topping, possibly the best pizza topping that's going, but that doesn't mean you can place him on top of our trifle, and it's going to create a beautiful dish. We currently have a manager whose vision and play style is not only shared by our owners, but completely embraced by them too. And given full backing, there will be no certainty in leaving a proven project in the world's best league to chase a dream. I'd argue he's living his dream right now, and he'll be here for decades. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa. Love it.
Love fantastic. It. Fantastic. Yeah. So on to one of the players who has absolutely flourished under Unai Emery, is absolutely unplayable at the moment this season. I said in my match reaction, I know we didn't do a full match reaction, but I feel like Ollie Watkins has come back since the international break, and it's just been like a man possessed. I don't know whether it's the fact that he's not, well, the stories are he's not guaranteed to get on the plane, whether he was a bit prickled by the criticism that he's received about, you know, being a winger and more, you know, more likened to a winger than a striker that certain players have labelled at him. But that performance on Sunday, Kev, it was one for the ages as a centre forward. And I know he didn't score, but he was just phenomenal. And yeah, to now be talked about in that player of the season, you know, in that player of the season kind of conversation, just shows you like the progress that he's making, because it does take a lot for Aston Villa players to be named in this kind of bracket, doesn't it? You know, the talk about the Cole Palmers who play for Chelsea, and the talk about Phil Foden. Obviously, Phil Foden, yes, does deserve that conversation. But for an Aston Villa player, you know, it's been a long time since Paul McGrath to be named, to be mentioned in the player of the season category is just testament to the player.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I thought second half he was absolutely tremendous. I mean, he's hold up play, his touch, his link up play. I just thought he was brilliant. I thought, you know, when obviously he set up the goal, I think it was for Diaby, wasn't it? He just kind of collapsed on the floor and needed.
It's like, what do I need to do to score? Basically, I think that was. But yeah,
the
Bailey goal. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, he's just been absolutely fantastic. And it shouldn't matter what club you play for. You know, you look at some of the odds for player of the season, and look, Foden has been absolutely brilliant. But I mean, I think Cole Palmer has been an absolute revelation. But you take away his 9 penalties, he'd have 11 goals in the Premier League and 10 assists. And Leon Bailey's got 10 and 9. So I think Leon Bailey.
I haven't even started on Leon Bailey yet, because he is just like, let's just finish up about Watkins.
I think they should both be in
the season
nomination. Watkins' contributions, if you look at goal contributions, so you know, 19 goals, 12 assists in the Premier League in all competitions. He's got 26 goals and 12 assists, so 38 goal contributions. Bailey's got 26. So if my maths is correct, that's 64 goal contributions between the two of them. Luiz has got 10 goals, 10 assists. It's just unbelievable to think about.
Diaby's got a fair few, you know, as well.
I'll tell you, 9 and 7 for Diaby, 9 and 7 for McGinn. Duran's got 6 goals and he hardly plays. You know, Cash has got 5 goals this season. Moreno and Zaniolo 3. I could keep going, but you get my point. It's just brilliant, brilliant to see. And Watkins now, if he's not scoring, he's assisting in pretty much every game. He is. If he's not on that plane, then I'm going to be absolutely staggered. And the question should be, how do we get Kane and Watkins in the same team? That for me should be, because I think someone with those kind of goal contributions, you know, if Rashford's starting ahead of him, I think it would be an absolute crime. Yeah. I know there's a lot of competition in those places, but I think Watkins, what else can he do right now? And do you know what it is with Watkins as well? It's the belief.
Yeah.
It's the belief that he's got.
It's a mind, it's just a mindset shift. Everything is.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think even after that Brentford game, I think we saw a shift and he was like, right, I need to be the man to deliver this, the Champions League to Villa. Like, I know McGinn's kind of had a little bit of a shift in mentality as well. But yeah, I mean, Watkins, it's incredible, like, watching him at the moment. You know, I imagine he's playing a little bit through the pain barrier as well. You know, he wasn't 100% fit when he came back. So yeah, he's just incredible. Absolutely incredible. Jason said Ollie best forward in the league. Jonathan said looks like it will be 26 man squads for the summer. Watkins is a shoo-in.
True, looks like.
Kev says, cheers, Deanie, you've made Watkins perform like a man possessed.
Can I just say on that comment there from Kev, right? you think about how confident you've got to be though to call it out.
You
get a little bit of bants from someone. Like, if you're going to call it out, you better make sure you're bloody good. Because he knows he's going to keep going. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. Rachel said, I love Ollie to get his 20th Premier League goal and Bailey to get his assist at the weekend. Gary said he'll win the Sky Not Top Six Teams Player of the Year award. Can Watkins get the 18 more goals to be all-time Villa record? Well, if he stays for next season, then 100%. 100%.
Yeah. I think the thing with Watkins now is I would absolutely love it that for taking no penalties, if he was to be top scorer, get the golden boot in the league. So, I mean, take advantage of Chelsea getting battered 5-0 tonight. Go for the jugular. And let's see. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you say to Louise, give him penalties. I don't know. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Because
whatever. Yeah. There'll become a point where he's got to get it soon, because it'll come a point where they'll be trying to pass him the ball so he gets his goal, and then we'll end up messing it up or something like that. So it's got to come soon. Like you say, he's in with a shout of, he's definitely in with a shout of player of the season. I don't know when they do the votes and stuff, so it could be that he incorporates a bit of last season. I don't know how it works these days, but he definitely should be in with a shout for it. But yeah, you mentioned like Leon Bailey. I mean, this guy, he's playing probably 75% fit at the moment. But we said this last week. He is a player that you literally pay money to see. And I'm not being like overhyping here. And sometimes I did an article last week and someone kind of had a go at me for saying, do you not know your history with this being the Villa, best Villa team in, you know, could be the best Villa team or best season in Villa's history or whatever. Fair enough. And I hope I'm not being too over the top here, but when we talk about Aston Villa wingers, right? You've got Mark Walters, you've got Tony Daly, you've got Ashley Young. You know, we've had a decent tradition of top level wingers who's exciting. Ian Ormond-Joyce.
Alexander Tonev.
But like Uncle Albert, the way he plays the ball now, the way he like commands respect on the pitch, the way he leads the team, some of the passes he was doing on Sunday, I mean, you're talking about him probably, like I say, playing 75% fit. The teams are like scared of him getting the ball. They're doubling up on him. He's beating two or three men. He's playing it back. He's going on his right foot. He's going on his left foot. He's hitting passes with the outside of his foot. I mean, it's almost like an exhibition that he's playing at the moment, Leon Bailey. It's crazy.
Yeah, look, there's been some fantastic players that have played on the wing for Villa. We mentioned, I think it's in the comment, Downing. Obviously, Ashley Young was fantastic.
Yeah.
I've seen Ray Graydon, that my old man always used to tell me about how good Ray Graydon was.
Yeah, so someone's put that. John's put that in the chat.
A lot of great players. Yeah. But Nobby was great.
Years. Albert Adoma, yeah. Into the Championship. Yeah.
And Bailey, obviously, this season has been, you know, back in the last season as well, has been so good that I've not had a 360. I've had a 3,600 on him. I've had 10 360s. I would say he would start for every single team in the Premier League with his form. I think he's just Tony Mordy, clearly. Yeah. I think he's just unbelievable. The difference is that when he comes on the pitch now, it's like Ronaldo and Messi's come on in terms of the difference he makes.
We're going to get back in the game now. Leon Bailey's on. Or, you know, against Arsenal, right, 60 minutes, Leon Bailey comes on to win the game. Or, you know, Sunday's game, it was like, just get the ball to Leon. Just get the ball to Leon. He'll do something. And he does.
But it's also his character now when he's coming on the pitch. And the great, great videos I think most people have seen say, we have time when he's doing that to everyone. It's just... the character that he is, the leader that he's been now on the pitch. I think as well, like when he was a bit off form maybe a few weeks ago, it was really noticeable. And I'm like, oh my God, please don't go back to the old Bailey. And then snaps out of it out of nowhere. He has been, with his numbers in terms of goals and assists, unbelievable. And I am going to say now, I wouldn't swap him for any other winger. I think he's tremendous. I am fully subscribed member of the Leon Bailey fan club.
Well, like you've said it there, 26 goal involvements this season in all competitions. 10 Premier League goals for a wide player is brilliant in itself. 9 assists already. You know, he's going to get the double-double. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And it's more difficult for wingers as well, because when they start playing well, teams will double up on them, or teams will try and put a big tackle in on them or whatever. And it's not as if he's so clever with his game. Like, sometimes he'll play the ball backwards, sometimes he'll just lay it off, sometimes he'll go on the outside, sometimes he'll go cutting on his left foot, sometimes he'll play like the longer pass. I mean, that pass he played for Ollie Watkins in the second half, just one touch outside of the foot, and it's right in his path. Like, yeah. Like, teams just do not know how to play against him anymore. And it's honestly, it's just a joy to have him in the team. And then you factor in Morgan Rogers and how well he's adapted, like you said before, Kev. You factor in Youri Tielemans and that masterclass in midfield that he put out on Sunday. You factor in Moussa Diaby, who's looking really sharp. It's exciting at the moment. And I asked a question on the instant reaction. You know, Douglas Luiz to come back in on Saturday. Do you think he gets his place straight back? Or do you think you stick with that, with the Tielemans, McGinn, you know, mobility, quick passing, quick movement? You know, I know Luiz likes to control the game and kind of, you know, be a playmaker from kind of conducting the orchestra. But sometimes that kind of quick, you know, you looked at Tielemans, he never holds onto the ball for more than 2 or 3 touches. It's always 1, 2, bang, bang, bang. And it keeps the tempo going. Do you think we keep that against Chelsea, or do you think Luiz comes back in?
I think he will come back in. I think he will come back in because he's just such a good player. I just think it's been so reassuring to think without Kamara and Luiz that you would have said are fixed on 2 midfielders in that ahead of the defence position. We've beat Arsenal, and we beat Bournemouth, and we've obviously got through a European tricky away tie in Lille in a quarterfinal. And you wouldn't know that those guys weren't there. The midfield didn't look like... I mean, okay, I know everybody struggled a bit in the Lille game at times, but they've just been a revelation. But I think because there's obviously some important games coming up, we've obviously got Olympiacos on the Thursday. I think he probably would... Luiz has had a bit of a rest. I think he'd probably come in. I think that maybe for Diaby, because I think Rodgers has been so good. So that would be my... what I would do, basically, if I was in charge. But what a luxury to have a player like that come back in. We did look a bit light, didn't we, in the bench? Obviously, we
started. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was very reluctant to bring the subs on. I felt a bit sorry for Duran because he was standing there for 5 minutes and the ball never went out. But we'd be nice to get him back because, yeah, like you say, you then have an extra option on the bench. Maybe Bailey, you know, he was carrying an injury, so maybe he's rested. We will see. We will see. We talk about the kind of thin bench, and I know we've got injuries. We know about the long-term injuries, the Buendias, Mings, Kamara, etc., Ramsey. But you touched on it before. You know, without those injuries, had 2 or 3 of those players been available, we don't know what happens. That's pure speculation. But could we have been in more of a championship challenge? But like, a question we were asked, I think it was from James on Twitter, you know, how many players are we away from, you know, this potential with Emery at the helm, this potential championship charge? You know, how many more players do we think we need? He's talked about one in at 2 midfielders. He's talked about maybe a forward player, maybe a wide player. Are we 2 or 3, 4 players away from potentially mounting a challenge, like a proper challenge?
I think maybe 4 players. I think a right back, a couple of midfielders, and forward player. I think Wales. We've got Kamara, we've got Mings, we've got Buendia to come back in. I think if you did move on a Moreno or Dean, you'd replace a like for like. But in terms of bringing in a real top level right back, a box to box midfielder, which by all accounts we are linked with, and I think probably another midfielder. I think it depends if anyone goes, as it obviously has replacements, and then a forward. Yeah, maybe you know, another option alongside Watkins and Duran. If you are going Champions League, then you're going to need to strengthen. But to think that we're having this conversation, to think whether you think it's 2, 3, 4, 5, My God, imagine if any other team podcast now, Palace podcast or whatever, a Fulham podcast, if we find four or five players, we could have a title challenge. Michael Owen called it today, didn't he? Michael Owen came out today and said, like, why can't Villa basically do it? And I look at it and I look at what we did the back end of last season and the teams we beat. I look at what we've done this season with the injuries and I just think no one talks about it. There's all the talk lately again about Ten Hag moaning that he's not had his first choice team to play at any point other than like once, whatever. And
Pep was moaning about playing in the 3 games in 8 days or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Like, cause didn't we just do that and deal with it pretty well? And then when they were talking about the Ten Hag moaning, wherever it was, I saw it on maybe Sky or whatever, they then mentioned, but Man United, you know, of course, but we've had Spurs, I've had injuries, Newcastle have injuries. And I'm there shouting at the screen going, Aston Villa? We've had injuries which have really affected us. And actually, we've got the main ones. But of course, we've had Torres, Tielemans, Ramsey, obviously, for most of the season. We've obviously got Moreno and Zaniolo now. It would be really, really valuable because obviously Zaniolo.
Yeah, I forgot about Zaniolo. Like, hopefully he's back for next week.
Yeah, by all accounts, I think he's going to be out for a bit.
Oh, no way.
So, like, what we've done.
Just as he was playing well.
Yeah, what we've done, considering all of that, for us to be in a situation where we're 11 points of Arsenal now, so you know it's probably a little bit too much of a stretch, you know, even if you've won a couple more games. But my God, Man United beat us twice. Man United, who basically should have lost to Coventry, let's not call a spade a spade. Yeah, that VAR line was over his foot. Anyway, we won't talk about that.
ABFC US says Bruno Fernandes will be looking for Champions League football.
No thanks. Not interested in that. Wouldn't take it.
Yeah. No. Ugent said we need a capable backup for Ollie, plus a right back, another number six, and another defender. Connor says in Monchi we trust. Adamski said let's snaffle up that Lille right back, Santos. Santos, I think it was. Dybala and Gonsalves says Duncan. He's been shouting them out all season. So that'd be, I think Gonsalves would be good. I've seen today that he wants us to sign that Baena or something. Baena from Villarreal. There's going to be all sorts, isn't there? There's going to be all sorts. But we talk about Monchi and we talk about, you know, some players that maybe we're familiar with, but do you think he goes all out for like two big signings and obviously the Nico Williams rumor and all that kind of stuff? Does he go for two or three big names, you know, the 50, 60, 70 millions, or do you think he goes, you know, more for the, you know, I guess the profile of player that he's looked at, you know, the Morgan Rogers, then the Djalkovic's, does he go for that type of thing? Like, you know, 10, 12, 15 million pound young player who has played as experienced first team football, but he can mould into something, into a system that he wants?
I think probably a bit of both, really. I think that they'll snap up with the good scouting, the players. Like, you know, I didn't get a bite back to my tweet the other day about the second tier podcast, basically saying Villa had the pants pulled down for Morgan Rogers.
Yeah, everyone was on that, weren't they?
Interesting, yeah. Interesting, but that 8 million is looking like an absolute steal now. Nedeljkovic, who knows obviously how he's going to be. He's been injured since we signed him, but he's obviously highly rated. So, you know, Gauchi, will he become the number two if Olsen leaves? There's obviously some good scouting gone on for players, but I do think that whether it's going to be a Buena, whether it's going to be a Goncalves, a Frimpong, I do expect there to be probably the need, if you want to get a real top asset to properly have a crack at the Premier League and the Champions League. What did I just say, Richard? To properly have a crack at the Premier League and the Champions League.
We have Champions League next season, and I know we've talked about Newcastle earlier, but you know, you look at them as a case study. Yes, they've had terrible injuries and all that kind of jazz, but you don't want to fall into that same fate of, you know, you have a huge game on the Tuesday night or the Wednesday night and you have to back that up with another huge get a Premier League game on the Saturday. Like, it is a different level, isn't it? It is a different level to playing Zrinjski Mostar, with all due respect, on the Thursday and then playing, you know, a Premier League game on a Sunday. It could be Real Madrid on the Wednesday night and then Arsenal on the Saturday. That's an absolutely different different animal, isn't it? And you've got to make sure you've got those players available.
And our squad's got better, but we need to upgrade that squad. You know, we can't be having two goalies on the bench to flesh it out, and a couple of kids that, you know, anyone wants to bring on for, you know, Kellerman's not really going to get many Premier League minutes, is he? And, you know, I think there was Kessel Hayden got about 15 seconds the other day. You know, I think he's highly rated and stuff, but we want players. You look at the big teams, their benches, all of them probably internationals that can make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, it's encouraging to see, like you say, mate, you know, people in the chat saying 2, 3, 4 players away from a mounting a challenge, which is really encouraging, because you do expect some injuries, but you wouldn't expect, you know, that many ACLs, you know, in the form of a Kamara, Buendia and a Tyrone Mings. You know, you just wouldn't expect that. You'd hoping that Ramsey will come back with a little bit more fighting fit next season as well. So yeah, you're talking 4 first team players there that would be back in the fold. So that makes a huge difference as well. I'd definitely like Net. I'd definitely be interested in Neto from Wolves, but again, injury prone. But I'd definitely be interested in him. Nico Williams, people have been saying in the chat.
Gilman.
And Frimpong. I'd like Frimpong. I think he would be an excellent player from Leverkusen.
Yeah. What about Max Gilman?
I like Kilman. I really do. I really do. Obviously, I did a bit of a transfer talk on him. I think he's comfortable on the ball. He's you know, he's one of those beacons in the box that always seems to head the ball away. I think he'd probably get better with better players around him as well. So yeah, he'd be an interesting one. But for me, it's a strong box-to-box midfielder. I still sometimes think we lack that dominant. I know I constantly go on about it, but I do still think we'd lack that. A forward player, like Ugent said, to kind of back up Ollie Watkins. I do like Duran, but I think we need someone else, particularly with Champions League football. I'd like a fullback, like a right back, and maybe another option in attack. But then, like you say, if you're looking at Rodgers, Diaby, Bailey, Ramsey, you know, that's pretty decent in terms of options that can play further forward, and Buendia. So Archer potentially coming back, you know, I can't see him getting in the first team. I think we'd move him on, but we'll see.
I think it'd be interesting to see as well whether, subject to what they can spend, whether you would get them specifically selecting someone. There's been some great names in the comments, you know, but imagine if we signed an Eze or, you know,
Eze would be tremendous.
Elise or Bowen or someone like, you know, I mean, Bowen's going nowhere. He's
Isak.
Mr. West Ham. Oh, imagine that, Isak, yeah.
He would be unbelievable, but I don't think he's coming to Villa.
No.
Guys, we've got 130 odd watching, which is just crazy. We've gotten 66 likes. So can we hit 100 likes tonight? That would be fantastic if we could. So if you haven't already, hit that like button. If you're new to the channel as well, please do subscribe. And if you want to donate to the channel, any super chats, anything like that, we're getting so many comments in. If you want to guarantee your comment to be read out, then a super chat will 100% guarantee that, because we're getting so many. I do try and read as many as I possibly can. But yeah, if you want to get your question in or anything like that, please. Or if you want to donate to the channel, just pop a super chat in. Couple of other points. We did have a few other questions that came in. Just bear with me a second. We've talked about the incomings. Rich Edwards, one of our main supporters of the channel, said, if we need to sell, who do you think we can sell with the least amount of trouble and drop off in quality in the team or squad? Obviously, there's been rumours about Ramsey in terms of the FFP value. Obviously, there's, you know, Louise is caught in interest. Watkins is caught in interest. But who, if we needed to sell, if it was a situation like that, who would have the least impact on the squad, I guess, out of the big names?
Maybe it's not the longest kind of, you know, data period to look at it, but you might have to say Louise now. And Louise is my favourite player. But I think that, yeah, there you go. Kevin, good name, Kev. Good mind as well. I think Watkins would be such a difficult one to replace. But you'd like to think they could bring someone in. But, you know, if you were going to sell Watkins, you'd have serious money. Could you replace him with someone who could get the same level of goal output? Martinez, No. We didn't mention the player of the season, but he should be up there. Best goalie in the world.
He's another one who stepped up this last few weeks as well. He really has. Really has.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can't see Bailey going anywhere. I can't see Kamara going anywhere. I can't see McGinn. So, yeah, unless one of the big clubs come in. And the ones you could see being a, whether maybe the heartstrings go, if one of the big Spanish clubs coming for Martinez, one of the big, you know, one of the big Premier League clubs it comes in for, say, a Man City or an Arsenal coming for Watkins maybe. But I think it's going to be a really, really rare situation that we're going to lose someone. Potentially Watkins with the age he is, getting a bit older. Does he, you know, I think it depends what we do in the summer. If he stays, if you've got a crack at winning with Aston Villa, then and Emery's not going to want to let him go either.
No. I mean, I don't even want to let anyone go. Luis, lots of people saying Luis, Ugent saying Luis, Kev said Luis. AVFC US says no way Luis is a keeper.
No, Martin is a keeper.
Rams is more likely to go. Yeah.
Don't even know who he plays, we. Sorry. Sorry.
Ramsey says Rachel. Carly says Ramsey as well. Deco says thinks Ramsey might have been replaced already. Sad if I'm right, but I think Rogers is good enough.
Yeah.
But there's a few people. It is funny, isn't it, how, like, you know, because Rogers has done so well, it almost goes badly against Ramsey. But, like, Ramsey's fantastic when he's fully fit as well. I wonder if we're able to do. Jonathan says Mings, but I don't know if we'd have any takers. I think you'd need to play some games first. But I wonder if he kind of supplements it, you know, again with some of the younger players that have come through like academy or been on loan, and one or two of the fringe players. You know, do we get some money for like a Luca Dean? Do we get some money for a Dendonka? Do we, you know, get money for one or two of the other fringe players or potential fringe players that we've got, and then supplement that with, I don't know, like a Louis Barry, Eric Bonham, a couple of other players that have come through the academy?
Yeah, I mean, possibly, yeah. The question is whether Louis Barry and Archer and the likes are going to be good enough to compete at the top level that we're at now.
Yeah.
I think in terms of, it might be a clever sale. It might be a sale worth, for example, someone like a Diego Carlos. You know, he's obviously in his 30s now. He's been great this season. If someone came in with a decent fee for him and he gets a big payday somewhere and they replace him with a, you know, a younger, cheaper centre-back, then potentially Iroquois is obviously a shout. Someone could go. Archer, you'd probably think with I know he's obviously not done too much lately. I think he's been injured, hasn't he? But you think he's shown glimpses that he can get goals in the Premier League, and he's a handful. I think you could probably get 10, 15, 20 million quid for him. You know, Dendonka, not done great things at Napoli, but you'd probably get 10 odd million for him. Let's say it was a Dean year and you brought in a, you know, a cheaper left. Who knows? But I think there's probably things that they can do before we've got to start selling, unless your hand is forced. But again, said it at the start of the pod, which Villa player is going to be actively trying to force a move away from this team, this squad, this situation? I think you'd be nuts to want to do that right now.
Exactly. Massive shout out to Adamski. He's gifted 5 Villa Park Pod, official Villa Park Pod follower memberships. Lovely. Thank you very much. I've seen a couple of people gift memberships. I don't know. I quite know how they work. But if you can click on and become a member off the back of that, then please do, because Adamski's gifted 5 of them. So that is fantastic. Thank you very much, mate. Much appreciated. I do think we might have to sell. I know we've been one of the teams that have been kind of pushing for this rule change with the profit and sustainability rules, which will be interesting. Sai AVFC says, who do we think of the kids might come through? We've got quite a few. Kellyman, Tim, Kessler Hayden, Bogard, Rory Wilson, Kobe Moore, probably one or two others. Who do you think? I mean, Kellyman's looked pretty impressive when he's come on. He's got that physique as well. Tim hasn't probably had as many chances as we might have wanted, as he might have wanted. Kessler Hayden, like you say, has had a few minutes here and there. Rory Wilson's been playing more for the under-21s. He's obviously got this contract offer on the table, but a number of clubs have been interested in him. What do you think, mate? It's difficult to say, isn't it? With any of the young players.
He's only just turned 18, isn't he, Rory Wilson? You know, Kellyman's, I think Kellyman's 18. So, you know, some of the other ones are maybe a little bit older in their early 20s. Maybe you might think they might have cracked it by now. That was always obviously Christian Perzelaer's point, wasn't it? But if Rory Wilson is good enough, then really in the Premier League level, he's got to be thinking about in the next year or so knocking on the door to start playing if he wants to really, really show it. By all accounts, he is an absolute, you know, star. He's a world beater coming, but there's been a lot of good players that have been fantastic as a teen going in, you know, that progression level. Lou Barry, another one, so highly rated, was actually playing fantastically, wasn't he, for Stockport until he got injured and come back lately. I would love it if one of them came through. I'd love it particularly if it was that's the second Kevin Keegan. I would absolutely love it. And Spurs have got to go. No, sorry. There'd be a real heartwarming story, wouldn't there, if Archer came through, or, you know, if Kellyman came through. But I think there's going to be some hearts broken with what Villa are trying to do. And that's that will be a shame. Will we be sensible about it? Send some players out on loan, put them in the window, and then make some money. Look what we did in the summer. We, you know, Aaron Ramsey, that £14 million, I think it was, with Badace, obviously with Archer. You've got some decent cash in there, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like we've said before, we've talked around this kind of the maneuverings of the FFP and how it means that you've got to sell youngsters or whatever it is and be creative with that. It's not great. One area where we're looking to kind of increase the revenue streams, and we seem to have been making the moves to do that, is obviously the kit. We've got Adidas now making the kit and supplying the kit, which is a great deal. We've got Betano as a sponsor, which is like, I don't know if it's doubled or trebled the money that we're bringing in, 20 million a season. I'm sure we'll bring in a couple of other sponsors, whether it's shirt, sleeve, or I think they're sponsoring the men's team. So I think the women's team might have a separate sponsor. We'll probably see that. But obviously, you know, thinking of the ground and how we might be looking to develop the ground and the surrounding areas, but leads to a couple of other questions from James Lawler around the North Stand development and developing the ground, but all links into the same. And I guess the kind of sponsorship and what we need to do to bring in more money to the club. How do you think we're moving in those directions?
Well, clearly, you know, this is always a painful thing, is it, for supporters? You know, are you selling your soul, basically? Whether you talk about naming rights, whether you talk about moving the stadium, building a new one somewhere else, having betting companies sponsoring the shirts. The reality is that if you want to compete, you've got to do what you've got to do. And, you know, people, it's a free world. People like betting. And, you know, and I think that I always feel like, you know, don't get talking about sort of like free will and free speech too much, but there's a lot of things in the world that can cause harm, you know, potentially, you know, alcohol, cigarettes, obviously, there's a lot of stuff going on at the moment. But, you know, cars, drive a car too fast, can't you? There's a lot of people that bet very responsibly, and because some people obviously struggle with it. Does that mean that those companies shouldn't be allowed to still exist? Let's not get into the moral issue of it, right? It is what it is. But I have no problems with Aston Villa getting a better deal with Betano than they've got, obviously, with the previous sponsor. Because you've got to do what you've got to do. But you would hope maybe you get, you know, a nicer name, should you say, in terms of what they do as a business sponsor down the line. But I wouldn't give two hoots if we had every bit of the shirt covered in sponsorship, if it meant that we could compete at the top level. Ideally not. And by all accounts, Chris Heck has been one of the loudest voices in terms of the FFP conversations in the Premier League. So let's just see what happens and what we need to do. But I think someone's put it in the comments, but finish fourth, get Champions League, you're getting more money from that. We've actually already made quite a bit of cash from getting to the semi-finals of the Conference League.
Yeah, I think you end up with like 15 million or something if you get to the final. You must get a decent lump sum if you win it as well. You must do. So it could. Yeah. I think it could probably be close to 20 million for winning the Conference League. I mean, it pales into insignificance just by winning a couple of games in the Champions League. But yeah, it's it's something. It's stuff that dreams are made of, and like we said, finishing fourth in the Premier League makes a massive difference. Even just to finish in like sixth, it makes a huge difference.
It does.
Because you're also thinking like obviously we've got Adidas, and they have that tiers of the different tiers of who kind of, you know, which level you are as one of the clubs that have Adidas. If you're fourth in the champion in the Champions League spots, fourth in the Premier League, you're probably more likely to be that tier one, or not the Premier tier, but the tier one. Obviously you're going to get more sponsors, you're going to get more sponsorship around the ground, you're going to get sleeve sponsors and all that kind of stuff. So it just makes a huge difference to what you can command in terms of sponsorship. And you know, and I hate to admit to add that the prices will probably go up. You know, the season ticket prices probably will go up and everything like that, because I think Newcastle put their prices, a few lads that I'm WhatsApp groups with and things like that, their prices have gone up quite considerably.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, that's something that will potentially happen as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, I agree, mate. And I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Heroes and Villains podcast said we could do more things in terms of events and gigs. Yeah, there's loads of stuff that we could do. Absolutely loads. And the naming rights, I know we've had that on the fan forum before. So that could be something that gets talked about. So yeah, we shall see. I think that probably does us, to be honest, mate. But I'll leave the floor to you I know we started on the Unai Emery conversation, but I just wanted to end on an Unai Emery loving as well. I mean, like you say, you just have to pinch yourself sometimes that I know I was hugely Gerrard in as well at one point, but I don't think anyone could have imagined the difference and the turnaround and the way that the players, the way that the supporters, the way that the club has embraced this manager and the way that the manager's embraced this club, and to have him at the helm for at least another year, moving into kind of talking about newer, longer term deals in the summer. Everything just feels right.
Yeah, he's just a class act, isn't he? He's a class act. Everything about him, you know, he's a winner. He's meticulous. He cares. He's considerate. He's so accountable. You know, he just makes no excuse. I absolutely love it. I know we talked about it on the pod before, but like, you know, he doesn't make any excuses. We had eight days. We had three games, didn't we? Like a lot of the a lot of the big teams would get. Not a grumble at all about the schedule, not a grumble at all about what we've had to do. You know, he just gets on with it, and it's just really reassuring. But what he's done to this club, where he's taken us from that horrible night at Craven Cottage to now, you couldn't have written this as being a dream. People would have said you were mental. You know, for us to be in a situation where we are really, really good shot of finishing the Champions League positions is just staggering. So I just think we need to pinch ourselves, thank our lucky stars, but also enjoy it. I mean, I didn't really think he was going to leave this summer, by the way. But there have been times when I've actually thought, oh, what happens after Emery? I'm like, don't think about that. Don't think what happens if the plane crashes. Just enjoy the holiday. And yeah, he's just, I'm just super excited about the future. I just think what we've done right now is to get ourselves in this position. For the next few years, I feel like I'm a kid, and it's great. And I think a lot of Villa fans share that.
Well, I mean, we talk every day. Oh, what game can we get to? Can we do this game? Can we do that game? Can you try and get me to, I worked out on the weekend to get down from Newcastle just to get to the Bournemouth game. I'm so glad that I did. I just want to experience and savor every game, every single moment of Aston Villa at the moment. And I think that's the testament to Unai Emery. You know, there's times where I've been driving down from Newcastle, and I was talking to a couple of the lads who had their season tickets, you know, in that season that we went down, and we won two home games all season, and they were two games they didn't actually go to. So for that season, they had a season ticket. They didn't actually see Villa win at all that season, and they're travelling down, you know, 8-hour round trip. And now it's like you're going down and you're absolutely buzzing. It just, a 4.5-hour drive just takes no time whatsoever. You're just like, nah, I love it. I absolutely love it. I wouldn't change it for the world. Imagine. And that is testament to what we've got at the club at the moment. It is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, mate, it's awesome. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
What a time to be a Villa fan. And, you know, Chelsea at the weekend, big game. Win that. You know, it's subject to what Spurs do in their game. This next week or so could be could be very, very exciting for the club. You know, European semi-final, Richard, a European semi-final. My God, tickets out, I think, pretty soon, aren't they? So,
yeah, I think they're out today, so people have been getting them. So, amazing, amazing stuff. Yeah, I think we'll leave it there. Fantastic stuff. What a show. What a show. Thank you, everyone in the comments. Thank you for people donating memberships. Thank you for all your questions ahead of time or throughout the show. It's you guys make the fans forum. You guys make the show. One last shout out for the likes. Please hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. Help us on the road to 4K. Over 100 likes on tonight's show. That would be amazing. Kev, thank you very much. We'll be back later this week for the official match preview for Chelsea. Maybe some transfer talk shows throughout the week. Maybe a lunchtime live if we can get on. But do look out for the channel. Thank you, everyone, for watching. What a time to be a Villa fan. Up the Unai. Remember, we all follow the Villa.
Thanks all.